Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wanted to start this episode by thanking everyone who has given me such wonderful feedback from the episodes that we have released so far. If there is something that we have not yet discussed that you think would be good for us to dive into, feel free to send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry or going to the show's website at www.amazingwithgrace.com and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab to send me an email. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. Let's get into our topic for today. As we prepare to go into Women's History Month in March, we can probably all agree that women are not just celebrated for one month. We are in the era of the woman. Women are out here making some big moves, y'all. And one of the many things I love about being a woman is our inner drive to do and be better. Today, I wanted to address an area that has become very popular, which is the notion of the high value woman. But before I get into that, let me give this disclaimer. Although I'm a Christian psychologist, I am in no way a biblical scholar. So what I'm going to share with you is inspired by the Holy Spirit based on my personal and professional experiences. My hope is not to offend anyone, but I want to simply invite you to listen to a different perspective. What exactly is a high value woman? When you ask people in general or you look up this phrase online, you'll quickly find that it generally refers to the qualities that a woman possesses to be noticed by a man. The goal is to make sure that she shows certain traits so that he can see her in a certain light. The idea is to get him to commit to you where he's mesmerized and that he can't get enough of you so that he knows that you have a high social value and high reproductive value, which is just seeing you as someone who could give him healthy children. In my estimation, all of this seems rooted in the laws of attraction because you'll see terms like manifesting, manifestation, attracting, energy, visualization, universe, and vibrations. Now, I'm not an expert on the laws of attraction, but from what I gather, it's basically the idea that you can manifest whatever you want and anything your heart desires by thinking positively, because those good vibrations will be sent out to the universe, and the universe will hopefully hear and receive those vibrations and send good things your way. So this high-value woman can manifest the man of her dreams if she has these specific qualities and puts them out into the universe. Today's topic is about being or becoming a high-value Christian woman, with Christian being the operative term. Now, why is this an important distinction? I talk to so many Christian women who genuinely have a desire to please God, and in their efforts, they unintentionally open themselves up to, quote, spiritual things that are not of the God we serve. As Christians, we have to be careful about manifesting and attracting anything our heart desires because the Word tells us that our hearts can be deceitful, which means that there may be something that is truly in your heart that may not be God's best for you. The Word asks us to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And Proverbs 16 and 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. An example of this could be me chanting and meditating to manifest and visualize and sage and say all kinds of affirmations for a man that I am really, really, really interested in, but he's married. So the world would support and applaud all of my efforts that I put into getting this man, but the reality is that I would be operating against the moral will of God. So when we move onto the enemy's territory, we end up operating in God's permissive will rather than his divine will. And the difference between the two is that The permissive will is when God is being the gentleman that he is, and he allows you to do what you want to do and not force you to wait on his best. The bottom line is, when we start trying to manifest and attract things, we unintentionally leave God out of the equation because we think that any results that we get are because of us. And on the flip side, when things don't work out, we end up blaming and questioning God when he was never really in the midst of our efforts. Being a high-value Christian woman might seem oxymoronic because you may be thinking being Christian automatically sets you apart and it automatically makes you high-value, which in so many ways is true. But the challenge I see is when Christian women are unsure of their worth and try to do worldly things and expect to get supernatural results. When your mind has not been renewed, you end up with salvation but no application in real-life transformation. We end up with a form of godliness and leave room for the enemy to plant seeds in our head and heart that are not godly. Overall, when we're not equipped properly or when we don't inspect things closer, we may not realize that the laws of attraction are all about what you want and your happiness and does not leave room to surrender those desires to God and for him to have lordship over our lives. As Christians, we don't believe in idolizing the universe because it's not biblical for us to worship creation instead of the Creator. All I'm saying is we have to be very careful about what we're opening ourselves up to and who and what we let speak into our lives. Part of the goal for why I created the Amazing with Grace podcast is to help us put feet to our Christian values. This is an area where I see a lot of Christians struggle. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I love God. Yes, I want to live by his word and his values. But how do I apply those principles to my everyday life? So my goal with this podcast is to help you be amazing with grace. Take your career and your relationships and spirituality to another level. Ladies, I'm going to go over the top 10 traits of a high-value woman according to our current culture. And then I'll go back and critique and dissect them for us as Christian women. You'll notice that I've expanded these traits to other areas besides romantic relationships because being a high-value Christian woman is about more than your marital status or hashtag relationship goals. I want you to expand your definition of high-value to be more than just attracting a man or what a man thinks of you, but to consider other things like how other women perceive you, what you think of yourself, and most importantly, how God sees you. Now, this episode is pretty long, so what I will do is we will have part one and part two. It is filled with questions, thoughts, and scriptures, so I think breaking it down into two different episodes will really help us to be able to fully digest all that I think God wants us to get from becoming a high-value Christian woman. As I go through the list, I want you to notice if you've subscribed to any of these mindsets and pray that God will shed light on any ungodly attempts to manifest and attract or manipulate to get what only he can give us. The first two, I'm going to put them together because I saw them quite often as I did some research on high-value women. And those two are, she is confident and she knows her value. According to the world standard, a high-value woman is a woman who has confidence and she is sexy. She knows that she is a prize. She knows that she can do anything. And she loves herself, including all of her flaws. Now, being confident and knowing your worth isn't bad, but looking deeper as a high-value Christian woman, we have to ask ourselves, in what and in whom am I confident? In what am I placing value? A high-value Christian woman is confident in God, and she knows that her value is in God. She understands that God is her source, not her career, not her level of education, her physical appearance, how much money she has, people of influence that she might have access to, how many followers she has. None of those things should be the foundation of her confidence. Because putting your value in those things makes your confidence and your value pretty shaky because the quality of those things change. What makes a high-value woman confident is that she knows that being a woman of God sets her apart. Even when she goes out, she's careful about the images that she posts online or how she presents to other people. Not only does a high-value woman know that she is a prize, but in knowing that, she does not have to devalue other men or women. In fact, she associates with other high-value Christian women. And she doesn't walk in the counsel of ungodly women. Now, this doesn't mean that God can't use certain people to speak a word into your life or that everybody in your circle has to be Christians. I'm definitely not saying that, because you can learn and befriend anyone. What I'm saying is that a high-value Christian woman is able to associate with other high-value Christian women in a way that is effective and genuine. And she's able to do that because she doesn't negatively compare herself to them. And notice I said negatively, because when we make negative comparisons, we end up on two different ends of the spectrum. On one end, if I'm comparing myself to another woman and I think that I'm better than her, then I can end up with pride, which is just false confidence. Or if I'm negatively comparing myself to another woman and I think that she is better than me, then I can end up with envy and insecurity. High-value Christian women relate to other women in a genuine and friendly and supportive way. Because she knows her worth, she is not competing or belittling other women. Here's my question for you. How do you relate to other women who are thriving? What emotions come up for you? Do you feel envious or jealous, insecure, intimidated, powerless, or critical? Whatever your answer is, it's okay. The point I'm making here is to be honest with yourself so that you can know how to pray and know how to respond when those situations come up. The high-value Christian woman knows how to celebrate other women. But the reality is, sometimes we might have been raised in an environment where all you know is how to tear other women down, how to be cutthroat to get what you need. Ask God to point you in the right direction of other women who can show you how to lovingly interact with other women. Asking yourself things like, God, why am I so critical of other women? Why can't I give another woman a genuine compliment without thinking that that diminishes my worth? Why won't I help another woman who has asked me to mentor her or to help me help her get to where she needs to be? One of the things that I am so grateful for, when I was doing all of my doctoral training, my clinical work was done at a hospital, and I share this whenever I can, but I'm so grateful for a group of ladies who have just been so genuine and who have been so instrumental into my career. What I appreciated about these women is they were already where I was trying to go. And there hasn't been one time when I went to them for advice or for guidance or for help, anything, and I felt that they were intentionally trying to dissuade me or trying to mislead me because they had some insecurities or anything like that, and secretly thinking that I might take their positions or that I might end up knowing as much as them. I never got that. And so for those experiences, I'm so grateful. And I think it really spoke volumes to me, because quite honestly, many of those women were Black, and that is not always the Black woman's experience. And so for me to have that experience, I think it was priceless. And it also really helped me to be able to be so glad to pay it forward whenever I can. Overall, what I'm saying is, don't beat yourself up if, as a high-value Christian woman, your confidence is not where it needs to be or you're not exactly sure of your worth. Comparing ourselves is common, but the key is catching those thoughts and combating them with God's word. Here is my favorite verse for comparison. Galatians 6:4 in the New Living Translation says, "Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else." The Amplified Version is even better. It says, "But each one of us must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions, attitudes, and behavior. And then he can have the personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to another." Overall, what I'm saying is that a high-value Christian woman is not only confident, but she is able to be confident, and she knows that her value is found in her worth in Christ. She understands that any weaknesses or growth edges, as I like to call them, do not make her value decrease at all. Psalm 139:14 says that she is fearfully and wonderfully made, period. not wonderfully made, if her face is beat, or if she has on the newest labels, or if a man notices and affirms her. Moving on to number three. According to the world standards, a high-value woman has high standards. She knows her deal breakers, and she is willing to walk away from any man who does not treat her well. As high-value Christian women, we have to inspect this on a deeper level. How exactly are we defining high standards? What are these standards and deal breakers based on? Are they based on you? Are they based on a you only live once mindset? Are they based on your experience, your family background? Are they based on what culture and society says should be high standards? What is high to me may just be average to you, or what's okay for me may be an absolute deal breaker for you. For a high-value Christian woman, not only does she have high standards, but these high standards are based on the Word of God. She doesn't just have high standards when it comes to her romantic relationships. It also applies to her family relationships, friendships, social interactions, and business encounters. The bottom line for this one is that God's Word is her standard, and so she takes her high standards and aligns them with God's Word. Number four. A high-value woman, according to the world standard, has high standards, and she uses those to set boundaries with men so she can earn his respect and he knows how to treat her. When we are becoming high-value Christian women, not only do we have boundaries with men, but we have them with ourselves and with other women. The term boundaries is thrown around a lot, but I don't hear it defined very often. What exactly are boundaries? One of my favorite books is called Boundaries by Drs. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, and I'll make sure to put the title in the show notes so that you can take a look at it. But they define boundaries as what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins, leading me to a sense of ownership. It means that I'm responsible for my own thoughts and feelings, behaviors, and decisions. You know you need to work on your boundaries whenever you say no and you start taking on more responsibility for other people's behavior, thoughts, and feelings and make excuses for them. Or you expect other people to take responsibility of yours. Because we've all had different experiences in our upbringing, we will have nuances to our boundaries. For instance, if I've grown up in an environment where women are to be subservient to men, I can unintentionally send the wrong message to a man, or even to other people for that matter, who may view that behavior as passive and take advantage of that. And on the opposite end, if I grew up in an environment where women were loud and aggressive, I could swing so far to the opposite end of the spectrum that that could also be seen as passive and people could take advantage of that. Another reason where we might have nuances to our boundaries falls into a misinterpretation of what it means to be a Christian woman or a good Christian. So many women have told me that they don't want to be seen as mean or bitchy, or they worry that setting boundaries will hurt the other person or hurt them in some way. And then they use the Galatians 5:22 scripture that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. But what is usually left out is self-control. Again, in our efforts to be good Christians, we often misinterpret how those fruits of the Spirit are to be applied. And when we don't apply them with wisdom, and if we don't have good boundaries, they can actually work against us. My question for you is, what boundaries do you need to set with yourself as it relates to your time, money, spiritual growth, eating, romantic relationships, family and friends? I'll give you a couple of personal examples. Because of my natural spiritual gifts and my professional training, it's very easy for me to always be in help mode. One of the greatest joys I experience is being able to speak wisdom into somebody's life and see it help them change the entire course of their life for the better. Now, if I'm not careful, I can do that all the time to my own detriment. And so, one of the things that has freed me is to give myself permission to not be helpful, reminding myself constantly that I don't always have to be in help mode. That is my boundary. Setting this boundary has freed me from feeling compelled and obligated to answer my phone every time it rings, especially during my free time. And it has allowed me to set the boundary with others to respect my time. Another example is, I am generally a night owl and an early bird. I know, don't ask. I don't know how that works, but that's just been my biological rhythm for a very long time, and somehow it works out. But I say that to say, because I'm usually up very late, I don't send work emails all hours of the night, and that is my boundary, because even if I check the email, I don't want to give the indication that if you send me one that late, that you will get a reply. Same thing with phone calls and texts. Now, I'm not really rigid with that, but that is a privilege that's only reserved for certain people where that boundary is already established. Here are some other examples of boundaries that high-value Christian women set with friends. I might really want to be friends with this group of women, but I'm not going to tolerate hazing type of behavior just to be in the in crowd or having to prove myself to be worthy of being in their group. Another example is setting a boundary at work. I might say spending time on my personal self-care plan and with my family is important, so I am not willing to do anything more than just 2 or 3 hours of overtime a week. That's a boundary. An example of setting boundaries when it comes to romantic relationships with men, you might say, I really like this man, but I'm not going to allow him to be disrespectful just to keep him around. When dealing with men, you have to ask yourself if you want to be liked and get attention, or do you want to be respected? Being liked and getting attention is short-lived by the next woman who is more entertaining and more attractive, but being respected is worth so much more. There's a quote that I really like by the music artist Pink that says, once you figure out what respect tastes like, it tastes better than attention. A high-value Christian woman not only has boundaries, but she is willing to enforce them. It doesn't mean that she's demanding in her delivery, but she knows how to temper and tailor her response to the situation and to the offense. To sum up everything that I just said, the bottom line is this. You know how when you go and you make a purchase and they have that small writing that says terms and conditions? That's exactly what your boundaries are. Boundaries are your personal terms and conditions. What are the rules of engagement? What are your guidelines? What is considered acceptable behavior in order to have access to you? Number 5, according to the world standard, a high-value woman is caring and nurturing. The idea is that men want a woman who is nurturing and kind and who is able to be generous to others. She's not selfish and she gives herself freely. She has great social skills and easy to get to know other people and make friends. She has a cause that she devotes her time to and her resources to, and she has a strong interest in the well-being of others. There's nothing wrong with this framework, but this has to be genuine. As high-value Christian women, we don't volunteer at the animal shelter or get involved in abortion or LGBT rights or feeding the homeless if that's not something that we're genuinely passionate about. We don't do things just to get points and attention for conversation from a man if those things are not truly in your heart. A word of wisdom for high-value Christian women is that it's okay for us to be caring and nurturing and considerate, but we have to be especially cautious because we can misinterpret empathy to mean open access to abuse and mistreatment and disrespect. So a high-value Christian woman tempers her care and concern with wisdom. She cares about her own soul and the souls of others, but she does not feel responsible for the spiritual growth of other people, unless they're her children, of course. But she does not feel responsible for the spiritual growth of other people unless God has specifically spoken to her and assigned that person to her. Let us move on to Dr. Q's couch. Anonymous writes, whenever I date, it seems like things go well for me and I feel secure. Then when he pulls away and starts taking a long time to reply or he doesn't want to spend a lot of time with me, I start to feel anxious, and then that's when I do things like start chasing. How does a high-value Christian woman handle these situations? Anonymous, I think it's great insight to know your areas of weakness when it comes to dating relationships. I would first ask if you've taken that piece to God and asked Him to help you manage those areas of anxiety in dating, of which I'm going to do an episode about, so stay tuned for that. But as you're becoming a high-value Christian woman, you have to be mindful that you don't spend all of your time with a man and don't even allow him to spend all of his time with you, because high-value Christian women have so much to do that she is not readily available to spend all of that time with a man anyway. But when he pulls back, she has to use wisdom to discern whether he's pulling back due to work and family obligations or for other reasons. When anxiety keeps you chasing, you don't really get a chance to see the other person's true intentions, because it's almost like you're forcing yourself to the other person to want to be with you. Hey, pay attention to me. You're coming across as very needy, and the needs are legitimate, but they're getting met in an illegitimate way. If you notice that the person is starting to distance themselves, you might say things like, hey, I noticed that you've been distant lately. Is everything okay? Versus, you don't call me as much. Are you mad at me? Do you see how there's a subtle difference between those two approaches? The first comment leaves it open-ended for him to be able to say, no, I've just been working a lot lately, or, you know, my kids are sick, or my mom is sick, or I've just been hanging out with my friends, or I'm going through so much. Or it also invites him to say, you know, I'm just, you know, really not sure where this relationship is going. Versus the other approach that automatically puts the other person on the defense, and it automatically assumes that you have an insecurity, that everything that he does is about you. What I'm trying to say on this one is that a high-value Christian woman, she is caring and compassionate, but she doesn't have to be anxious and frantic, because she remains invested in being present in the life that God gave to her, and she's being obedient to doing all the things that God called her to do, and she knows that her role and her worthiness is not just found in whether or not a romantic relationship works out. So Anonymous, I hope that at least gets you started in the right direction. As we move into our Dear God segment, I really want us to go through and answer those questions in our quiet time, writing the answers in our prayer journals, and see what it is that God reveals to us in our time. If you would like a free download of a prayer journal, please go to my website, www.amazingwithgrace.com, and click on the resources tab, and you will see the link for the free download of the Dear God journal page. Y'all, I cannot tell you how significant prayer journaling has been in my life. I've been doing it for many, many years. And a lot of times when I go back and read it, I'm able to see the growth in my emotions. I'm able to see the growth in my spirituality. And it has just been a phenomenal way for me to track my desires, my prayer requests for myself, for my son, for my family and friends, and to see the hand of God move on my life. I cannot tell you how critical this has been. So it's definitely something that I highly recommend. If you're not sure how to get started with prayer, writing your prayers is a wonderful, wonderful way to deepen your relationship with God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for another day in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity for us to spend some time together on this podcast episode to figure out what it is that you have to say to us about becoming high-value Christian women. Help us to know that as Christian women, we are loved by you and we are complete in you. We don't have to look to the world to try other things to attract and manifest and manipulate just to get a man. Father God, help us to know that our identities are more than just our relationship status, that you have so much more for us, and you have called us to be awesome women of God, not just somebody's girlfriend, not just somebody's mother, not just somebody's wife, but we are called to be awesome women of God. Help us to reject the tendency to think that you're holding out on us. Help us to identify areas of our lives where we are walking in ways that are not demonstrating our true worth in Christ. give us peace in knowing that despite the ridicule that we might face for the standards that you have set for us, that we are still precious in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. That is our episode for today. Some additional resources that I think will be really helpful to you on your journey to becoming a high-value Christian woman are a Bible study by Dr. Kanayo on the YouVersion app. It's the Bible study called Esther. It is a wonderful Bible study. I highly, highly recommend it. So again, that's the Esther Bible Plan by Dr. Kanayo on the YouVersion Bible app. And then there's also the Queenology book by Bishop R.C. Blakes. And I will have all of the scriptures that I've referenced for today and all of the resources that I've referenced for today. Enjoy the rest of your week and take care.